Hello and welcome to Shield Bash. I'm Britt. I'll be your GM. To my right,
Mark, playing Artemis Quinfrig, Esquire, Knife Master Rogue.
Darwin, the best bard on the island, played by Neil.
Will, playing Nath Vendikar. All you hear is...
Jason, playing Tam Westcrown, and I hope there's treasure in the dock-tailed rock.
Curtis, playing Ronan, and well, there's going to be a lot of woohoos in this episode.
And Pete, playing Meta.
No, it's pronounced hoo-ha, Pete. Hoo-ha.
He can't help it. He's dyslexic.
Now that we've removed all the natives on this island, quote-unquote natives.
Well, they're still a dryad.
I think that the new rumor for this island is going to be that all of the natives go woo-hoo.
Instead of,
yeah.
We just got to teach the dryad that the woo part, and she'll probably just tell everybody else. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all the numerous visitors she gets on this very dangerous, uninhabited island.
The pezcock and the dryad. I mean, that's everybody.
It's not as dangerous.
It just hasn't been
anymore.
Developed yet. They don't even have a fucking lighthouse yet, so people can't even land. But once we get that going, boy.
They tried that once. How'd it turn out?
It's going to be totally commercialized. You watch.
To be fair, though, if we build a lighthouse, that's a lot of free labor for them. They might come and just start colonizing this place.
So what you're saying is if we build it, they will come?
Yeah.
Kinda, yeah.
No, that's not what I was saying, but yeah.
Sounds like the slogan for a whorehouse.
And I'm not cleaning it up.
Hmm. Well, I think that was, if we erect it, they will come.
Yeah, that sounds better.
I always heard, if you bang it, they will come, but you know.
Remember to blow out the cobwebs first.
Okay. And what was that you said off mic? Lick it before you...
You gotta lick it before you stick it.
There you go. I knew it was something like that. Ooh.
Actually, there's a lot of salt water. You don't really have to lick it. You should probably just...
That does not sound enjoyable.
Dab it before you stab it, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, there you go. Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, we had a very, very unusual mic check today. A little bit of issues, and we're starting recording about an hour and a half late, so be expect a little bit of woohoo!
Woohoo! Ooh-yah!
Coming at ya!
These poor bastards don't know what's coming for them.
That's what she said.
Not one freaking bit.
Speaking of poor bastards, the rest of you guys know, but for our listeners, I got contacted through our social media from one of our listeners.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was very exciting.
What, was that our favorite truck driver?
No. He did, however, give us a shout-out. Coop gave us a shout-out for like two episodes this week. Yeah!
Nice.
But no, the guy who works at the zoo who's going to let me go
and
play with the otters.
And the cloacas.
Nice.
I'm not going to play. No.
The cloacas. He said there's a lot of cloacas.
Neil?
I read the note.
He did say
he's
that.
Like snake guy, right? Yeah, he's like, you know, he works in the snake house. Right?
What do they call that house?
Reptile
the herpetology.
House.
The herpetologist. He's a herpetologist.
Yeah. Herpetologist.
And if you have five
cloacas?
No, reptile houses.
No.
You're a hepatologist herpetologist.
Oof.
Ooh.
That's fancy.
Not to confuse with Neil's house, the herpy house.
Yes.
Hey.
Rough.
I mean, if they get sick, you could be, if you have five of them with herpes, you'd have a hepa-herpy hepatologist.
Oof.
Ooh. There you go. That's
and then, like, if you also are interested in mythological things.
Nope. Fuck off.
That's a lot.
No. Hepa-herpy herpetologist harpies.
There you go.
I thought you were going to go with hydras.
Can you say that five times fast?
Hepa-herpy herpetologist harpies, hepa-herper... Nope.
Tried.
Now try it with hydras, because they have five heads, and that's another five.
Well, I didn't even make it to the harpies part twice.
It's okay.
So.
You can do it.
Hydra.
He did it!
Hail Hydra!
It is weird that hydras have five heads and only have one cloaca.
Well, it's also the type of hydras, because hydras get older.
Three, four,
seven.
I don't think they have a cloaca. Haven't you ever heard the debate of the hydra dick?
Nope, I have not.
Well,
I think I'm good.
You cut off a head and it grows back two more, right? So,
wow.
Castrating a hydra is essentially just infinite food for a food stall, as long as they don't mind eating hydra dick.
So it's like troll rations.
Essentially, yes.
I like troll rations.
Yeah.
That's great invention for 3.5.
Except for troll rations, if you don't do it right, will grow inside you and, you know.
Yeah. That would be bad.
Yep. Dip it in acid, cook it thoroughly, you're good.
So we need to find a pygmy troll?
Digesting it before you actually ingest it? You said dip it in acid.
Dip it in acid because stops that stops regeneration.
Right.
Cook it thoroughly so you get rid of the disease and all the other shit in it.
Right.
It.
But so wouldn't your stomach acid stop it from regenerating?
That's my thought.
Yes, but while you're cooking it, it would be growing.
Continue so to grow. The debate on that is that the stomach acid does not have a high enough pH to stop the concentration. Otherwise, the troll's own stomach acid would prevent it from regenerating.
So this also prevents you from stopping a troll from regenerating by throwing up on it then?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm. That's unfortunate. That was my new plan.
New one.
Unless you make the debate that you have such an unhealthy lifestyle that your stomach acid is stronger than normal. Which case, though, then you got to roll for ulcers and it's a whole thing.
Or
take the iron stomach feet.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Iron gut.
Yeah.
Iron gut goblin. Mm. Eating trolls like it's yesterday.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Or 5 minutes ago.
Doesn't matter.
Same thing.
Iron gut.
Yep. That's what you signed up for. Listen to Shield Bash. You're welcome.
So, theoretically, if a goblin were to pickle a troll, you know, does that mean that the pickled troll would still continue to grow? Or
depends on how you pickle it.
And the thing is, too, like if you used vinegar to pickle it, like boiling vinegar, I think that the acid level probably, depending on the vinegar, would be high enough
from growing. Pickle it in, yeah. Like if, for example, they use ammonia to pickle it because they're fucking goblins, they might do strange things like using ammonia to pickle things or other really strange things.
And where do they get the ammonia, Neil?
Pee.
Cats.
Exactly.
Pee.
They'd eat the cat.
I do.
After they fed it, though.
That's not what they're talking about, Neil.
Oh.
Chinese food, right?
Yep. I always wonder where that orange cat went, but, you know, that orange chicken did taste a little feline.
Made orange chicken yesterday.
Meow.
For dinner.
Mm.
How was it? Was it homemade? Was it store-bought?
No, homemade.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it tasted like orange chicken.
Did you get your chicken from Pete's Chicken Ranch?
Sure didn't.
Best spots in Farmer City.
Pete won't even give me eggs.
What? I don't blame you.
What a guy.
It says production's been low.
The one time that Jason asked me for eggs was towards the end of winter, and the chickens reduced their production during winter.
Yeah. He's got a family to feed.
Little Spartacus likes his omelets.
We're back up to an average of 6 eggs a day.
Oh, that's good.
Well, that's enough for me. What the rest of you going to eat?
That's a lot of fucking eggs.
Yes.
Yep, that's how that works.
I throw out usually like 3 yolks, sometimes 4. That way you get the flavor of the lection and stuff that you need, but you don't get so much cholesterol in it. Because the whites really don't have much cholesterol, but it's all protein, so it's good.
Hey, Mark.
I know it wasn't like deep-throating the mic.
If you lower your mic like I did last time for you, it might work a little bit, so you have to lean forward so much.
How low can it go?
Want to find out?
Go ahead.
Oh, cue the limbo music.
Every limbo boy and girl all across the limbo world.
I realize, as a short guy myself, that we all want to feel tall, Mark, but it works better if the mic is actually reachable for you.
Pete, I mean, the reason why I'm almost your height now is because I'm sitting in the lowrider chair. It's like every time I sit down, it's like...
How did you get the lowrider chair?
Nah.
I don't know. It was just here.
He's a lowrider.
Isn't Kurt the one that usually has a lowrider chair?
No. No, I use the duplicate of that one. He uses the old lazy boy.
Mm.
That's... just kind of there.
Weird.
You're weird. Face is weird.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
It's the best.
So Will had a shitty week. How are you doing, Will? You were a little spicy before we started.
Anything you want to tell us?
Yeah.
Extra spicy
Will. Just us and all of our fans. We
not real
know.
Common.
It's just kind of out of character. We're all really curious.
Right.
No, be curious, but I'm not going to talk about it on mic.
That's good, because I really don't. I don't want to listen to you.
Jason doesn't care.
No.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Well, we care, Will.
We at least pretend to care, Will. That's what matters, right?
Which would you rather? Listen. The person who's honest then says they don't care, or the person who just pretends?
Now, look, I'm honest. I honestly want to know what traumatized you so much that you're acting like the rest of us instead of yourself.
That's the third option. The third option is that somebody honestly cares, which is Mark, but like between me and Neil...
Well, you know what you got.
Depends on the day. usually the honesty would be good.
But in this moment, you want the
so like if somebody comes up to you on the street and says, "Hey, how you doing?" Are you the guy that goes, "Do you really want me to tell you?" Or
No. If somebody just came up to me on the street and asked me how I was doing, I'd expect they're trying to sell me something, so I'd probably not really pay attention that closely. Okay.
Maybe a head nod and keep walking.
They're lucky if they get that.
Right. At work, I'll have people ask me, you know, like, hey, how you doing, Wash? I'll be like, it's Tuesday.
You just got to quiet down, look them dead in the eye, and go, man, this herpes thing is a bitch.
I do this thing at the university. I volunteer for, they call it conversation partners. And because, you know, they have a lot of international students, and you get paired up with somebody, and you're like, you're just having a normal conversation in English to help them practice, right?
Okay.
One of the first things I usually tell them is like, hey, how you doing? It's just a greeting. They don't actually want to know.
Right.
You know, like they're just saying like, hey, what's up? Like, they're not actually asking you to tell them how you're doing. So
most of the time, that's correct. We have a new person at work who honestly wants to know how everyone is fucking doing. She keeps going, are you okay? You look upset. It's another day in paradise.
Is that the HR lady?
It might be.
Okay.
Yeah. I think she's paid for that, though.
We have a guy at work that does legitimately ask people, are you okay? Everything okay? And he does want to know. He also will ask you like 3 times in a row after you tell him, yeah, I'm fine. I just need to like work or do this, or this is bothering me. So yeah, just like,
fuck
he'll keep asking.
Fuck off. Love you, Corey. You know what's fucked up about this conversation?
What's that?
Is I just saw Pete get out of the car. He looked like he was having a rough day. I said, hey, Pete, how are you doing? And I was genuinely concerned. So fuck you, Pete. Fuck you with a dirty dick, man.
Wow.
Fuck you, dirty Pete.
I said I was fine. A little tired.
His hair always looks like that, bro.
And then I pounded like 5 energy drinks, so I'm awake now.
And that's the nickname.
I'm awake.
So, Will, I do have a bit of advice next time you think somebody's trying to sell you something.
Yeah.
Before they even start, try to sell them something.
Preemptive strike.
Yeah, well, it's like, hey, how you doing? Be like, I'm doing great. Can I tell you about Jesus? Or, I'm doing great. You want to talk about the environment?
Hey, you know who you should know more about? This guy, Jehovah.
The neighborhood that I work in at work, I go out and smoke, and people randomly walk up to you. I've gotten to the point where as soon as they start approaching me, I just turn around and go, I have no cash. And they tend to walk away.
Does happen.
You know what else really works?
That's sad.
If you turn around and blow the smoke right in their face and go, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't see you there.
Speaking of panhandlers, I'll never forget this guy. I was at the post office over there at Champaign. And the guy walks up. And I mean, there's always one panhandler or another. This is a new one that day. And he walks up and he goes, hey, would it be okay for you to give me money today? I'm like, just the way you phrased that is just not right, bro. What is matter with you? And I said, no, sorry, don't carry no cash, but do you need a square? I gave him a cigarette. And he said, oh, thanks, God bless you, blah, 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 blah. On and on and on. Went in, took care of my business inside the post office, came back out, and he's still God blessing me. I'm like, thanks, appreciate it. But just the phrasing was so weird on that one.
Yeah, that's strange.
Yeah, normally they have a story or some bullshit to throw your way. Yeah. This guy's just like, hey,
running out of gas.
So,
hey, you can give me money? just bold as can be.
Yeah.
A couple years back, Rachel has a soft heart for these kinds of scenarios. I know, Will. I know.
Don't fucking get me started.
Oh, well, we got flagged down on Neal Street in Champaign.
I'm liking Spicy Will.
And there was this individual who was asking for help getting to another state because of sad story. And it's like, eh, we got a few extra bucks. And Rachel's like, yeah, we'll do it. Like, really? Fuck it. So we got him in the vehicle, drove down to the Amtrak, bought him a ticket. I'm like, I hope you're being sincere about your story, because right now you're going to fucking Idaho. Yeah,
that is, I have found the best way. Like, somebody comes to me, like, I got car problems. I'm like, hey, man, I'm a mechanic. You know, like, I'm trying to get there.
Show me
your
car. Trying
to get to Missouri. I'm like, that's where I'm going. Hop the fuck in. You know, like, just to get them. To verify.
It's been quite a few years, but there was a guy panhandling at the end of a Taco Bell drive-thru. Like, you know, where you have to stop before you go out on the road.
Hey, you got to change.
With a sign that said, and I quote, hungry will take anything. Okay? So I thought, this dude must really be sincere, you know? So when I ordered our food,
he's willing to eat Taco Bell.
Well, right. when I ordered our food, I got, you know, a couple burritos. You know, I got, again, because we were in California.
Dude, I swear to God, if you tell me you threw him a sauce pack, I'm going to...
No, dude. I got a couple of bean burritos because a lot of vegans out there, you know. So got him that, roll up, guy comes up, all excited. And I'm like, here you go, dude. You know, we got you something to eat. I said, you know, hope that helps. Oh, I don't eat that stuff.
I looked
right at him and said, then maybe you should try panhandling at another restaurant that you do eat. Yeah. You know?
Next thing, he's at Texas Roadhouse drive-thru. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's where I'd panhandle.
You hear the guy a few hours later, broken man, curled up in the fetal position, lamenting cries. I'll never eat Taco Bell again.
He's lucky I didn't throw the burritos at him and drive off.
One of my buddies panhandled a guy in Champaign years and years ago. And he gave him a couple dollars. The dude was saying he needed gas money to get to Decatur or Danville or something.
Oh, he's still straight out of gas. Yeah, that dude's still there.
Like 3 weeks later, he sees him again, so he throws pennies at him. Now every time he saw him, he would throw his loose change at him.
That's actually one of the saddest things I ever saw when I was in Louisiana. We're waiting on a drawbridge, long line of cars, and there's a guy walking through them, like walking down the median, like, and there people are throwing loose change at him, and it, you know, he was taking the time to pick up every single thing, and this guy was like, if he wasn't homeless, he was doing a damn good job of convincing people.
Well, that's a different story.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, it was one of the saddest things I ever saw, is people are just like, they'd open their window and just chuck change right in their face. Yeah. I was like, the fuck?
Yeah,
like,
my uncle,
like, he immediately, like, pulled out, like, opened up our picnic lunch and started pulling food out for this guy.
Sweet.
And unfortunately, that's how you do it. The people that are out there as a scam just kind of ruin it for the people that actually need help.
Absolutely, it sucks.
My favorite one.
You don't know who's who. Are you going to go to the Avon Theater?
My favorite one was at the Avon Theater.
Yeah, we were going to see Bruce Campbell.
My son is diabetic. He's a type 1 diabetic. He's insulin dependent. And we're outside the Avon Theater, and this guy comes walking up to us, and he's like, hey, I need some money for my food for my son. He's diabetic. And Matt's like, where is he? He's like, I left him under a bridge. And my son, he's like, maybe 7-8 years old. He's like, you left him under a bridge? He starts losing his shit. I'm trying to get, I'm like, Matt, look, he doesn't really have a son. This isn't really what's happening. And he's losing his mind.
You want to never have that particular individual walk up to you again? What you do is open your eyes real wide, smile as big as you can, go open up the back of your vehicle, whatever it might be, even if it's a truck, and say, yeah, where do you want to go?
Come on.
They won't ask again.
Come on, new friend. I'll tell you about this documentary I saw about Buffalo Bill.
I'm heading on out to the commune. You want to come with me?
Now, Will, when you say the back of your vehicle, are you talking like the trunk on the car?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a hatchback.
Yeah.
So that's why I said, whatever you got, it's fine. But if you have a hatchback, bonus points.
I like Neil's commune comment.
Just open up a bottle of water and be like, here, drink this first.
the company said it'll fit 3 to 4 bodies.
Don't worry. It's sealed for your protection.
Hey, look, before you get in the car, do you have any family or anybody that might miss you?
You got a cell phone? Throw it away.
Just put your stuff in this Mylar bag. It'll be all right.
You know, statistically speaking, 1 in 4 people is a serial killer. Are you? Because it might be me.
No, my favorite one of that is it's statistically unlikely that 2 serial killers will be in the car together.
That's one of my favorites. Yeah.
Or you just, you know, travel around with a bag of lye in the back and just be like, oh, don't worry about that. That's for recreational use.
It's for my garden. Yeah.
Recreational use, yes.
I got to keep them beetles off my flowers, you know.
Yeah, I got an apple tree at home.
Aw, you're scared. How do you think I feel? I got to drive back alone.
Yeah.
By the way, does this rag smell like chloroform?
Gardening tip. Always plant endangered species on top of the body so they can't dig it up.
Yep. That's pro-life.
Whoa.
This coming from the man whose wife, this coming from the guy whose wife grows poison.
Not just poison. They're very beautiful plants.
They're medicinal. In the right quantity.
Ish.
Yeah. Yeah. As many things are.
Technically, everything is toxic in the, if you get enough of it.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, even water.
Always in moderation.
It actually doesn't take much water either.
Yeah, nope.
Did you guys know that people used to refuse to eat tomatoes?
Yes.
Because they are part of the nightshade family?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Turns out they're delicious. What's
well, in back in the day, they used to the pots they used to cook with them used to absorb like the lead or whatever toxic metal was in the pot.
Yeah,
yes,
and then the tomato would actually kill people.
Yeah,
yeah, the acid, mm-hmm. the acid from the tomatoes would leach out the lead.
It'll do it to aluminum foil and shit too.
Eventually, the Italians said, "No, this is how you cook this shit." And then you know, we got pasta and sauces and pizza. Fucking brilliant
pizza.
Speaking of tomatoes, I looked into something a couple months back because I had never before in my life seen ketchup made from anything other than tomatoes. But it turns out you can make ketchup from all sorts of shit.
Yep.
Okay.
I've had ketchup. It from jalapenos once.
Yeah. What did you have?
I didn't actually have any because like I went to look and they're all like $20 for a bottle the size of a Tabasco sauce bottle. And I'm like, oh, fuck that. Because you know they're all like individually made. Nobody's mass producing like
that's the
carrot ketchup.
Yeah, that's the craft ketchup industry. It's really starting to get big now.
It's my understanding.
I think I'll pass on that.
Historically, when ketchup made it to the market, it was sort of a catch-all phrase for sauce.
Like chili. Yeah.
So
or salsa.
You could call anything ketchup, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And after time went on, though, you know, we like this sweet tomato sauce. We're going to call it ketchup, and that's kind of where it stuck.
Kind of like pickles.
That's a U.S. Yeah, I mean, butter.
It depends on the pickle.
In the Philippines, they make their ketchup with bananas, and it's actually great to cook with.
Yeah, it's great to cook with bananas, but I don't like banana ketchup.
Banana ketchup, it's good to cook with. It's good with meatloaf.
That does not sound appetizing, but
it tastes just like
way
ketchup.
Too sweet for me. Way too sweet for me.
Britt, my comment on pickles was more of like pickles are pickles. Everything else is a pickled whatever.
Right.
Yes.
Like we don't call it pickled cucumbers. They're
it's
just
weird,
pickled.
Right? Yeah.
Or pickled homeless guy.
So that's my comment on like or tomato ketchup trolls. Is just ketchup, right. But anything else is
carrot ketchup,
right. Carrot ketchup, squash banana ketchup, banana right, right. Ketchup.
I'm with you now.
Butter, so pumpkin butter.
It's amazing how we circle back to the pickled trolls there.
Mm-hmm. Pickled homeless guy?
Yeah.
Well, homeless guys live under bridges. Trolls live under bridges.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Hey, a lot of those homeless guys, they're standing on the exit ramps by the bridge in Champaign. That's the bridge trolls, right?
Yeah. That's right.
The Walmart and Savoy.
Oh, yeah.
I saw something unusual. I wanted to share this with you.
Okay,
we've all seen Neil.
It was a. It was a. No, no. It was. It was a. It was
put
a,
that thing away.
It was a family
of Neils
in a parking lot.
Terrifying.
The dude had an electric violin with an amplifier, and he was playing music, busking for his family.
Cool.
I have a question of that. Was he playing the Revenge of the Nerd song? Because if he wasn't. He's not getting my money.
You know, I know he took requests. Like if you come up and threw a couple dollars in his thing, he would play if you said that. So I think probably if he knew the Revenge of the Nerds song, I think he would play.
Where was this?
It was in Fairview Heights.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. There's a guy who does something very similar in Champaign. Except
over at Target?
Kind of near there. Except if you go up and give him money and he thanks you, you'll realize that he takes his hands off the instrument and it keeps playing. So
nice scam he's got going there.
Yeah, like I don't mind buskers so much because they're at least performing to try and get money. You know, I've known a few people that they just busk on their days off. You know, kind of like people who drive for Uber. You know, just like it's just like gig work. You just go out, find a place that'll let you set up and spend 12 hours playing the music.
My favorite buskers are the human statues in Vegas. Because they scare the ever-living fuck out of people, and it's amazing every time. I would stand there for like an hour and watch them scare like 70 people.
And it's hot,
worth
too.
It every fucking time.
Those people are like studs.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
As long as you don't touch them.
Yeah.
I've seen quite a few videos of like somebody who's like trying to mess with them, and they'll just fucking punch you in the face. Yeah. It's like the guards at Buckingham Palace. Like, yeah.
Yep.
They won't move until you touch them.
Mm-hmm. Fun. Speaking of being touched...
No.
She's got the touch.
A touch too much.
Don't touch me there, Peter.
Got that invisible touch, yeah.
Oh,
reaches in,
there we go.
Takes right hold of your heart.
When I think about you.
No, that's all you get.
I touch myself.
Okay. What else you got? Keep this thing going.
Touched by an angel.
What else?
Hey, and fuck you, I've done two of them.
Let's go. He's done good, man.
Let's go, Jason. Give me another one. No. Come on.
How about you can go fuck yourself.
Hey, at least
you
he had a third one.
Fuck yourself.
He had a third one. I'm proud of you. Good job. Way to dig deep on that one.
Thanks. It just came right out of my ass.
That's what she said.
That's okay, whatever you're into.
Is that a two girls in a cup reference?
Now we're back full circle to woo-hoo.
Yes. All right. Now back to poo. Yes.
So, Britt, you were going to touch something.
No. I think you guys were touching stuff, if I remember correctly.
Weren't we supposed to, like, play Pathfinder or something?
I think so.
Yep.
Hopefully. Yeah, we're on a boat.
Oh, I never thought we'd be there.
Or is it a ship?
It's a boat.
It's a cello.
I think Britt's the one that's popping.
When we all laugh real loud, we're going to pop.
Take your bass, turn it on the side. Okay. Cello.
Yeah. I ain't going to lie, dude. That, I got to admit, most imaginative use of a cantrip I've seen in years.
Thanks.
Agreed. Congratulations.
That was good. Pretty good.
I was waiting for it to come up to be able to use it.
A Chillaxian cello. What do you think?
Well, they are well known for their navy.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe all of their boats are secretly just summoned instruments.
Huge. Permanent. Made permanent.
That's huge how they cellos. Make them.
Could you imagine you're standing on the shore and you're watching the ship go by and all of a sudden, every 6 seconds, jump!
Being a sailor here sucks.
It's a great workout, though.
I was going to say, they got good legs, so.
Yeah, but you can't
try to
sleep.
Beat them in a foot race. You just got to sleep pretty high up on the ship.
So you just keep falling layers down.
Exactly.
The biggest part of the ship is the bird's nest. It's got all these hammocks. And then you just kind of land layered on the sail hammocks. And then land on the front and then... You got someone at the bottom of the ship that wakes you up when you get down there?
There's like 15 layers of hammocks. You just start at the top and you fall the next. The next person climbs back up to the top one.
The hammocks and actually are the sails. Yeah. Kind of deal, yeah.
I'm imagining, you know, like the big suits they wear to train attack dogs? Mm. Like you just sleep in one of those.
They have to have shifts, so there's like four shipwrights.
Right.
The real
to
salty.
To create the cellos.
Mm-hmm. You can always tell the salty sailors because they're the ones that don't even wake up. They just keep falling and stay asleep, hammock to hammock. You'll get used to it, matey. Don't worry.
So yeah.
After your third voyage, it's not even like you're falling.
It's sleeping on land that becomes hard.
I keep jumping in my sleep. I don't know why.
It's like you're sleeping on air.
I bet the first voyage is pretty stressful because, you know, every time you...
I keep having this recurring dream I'm falling over and over and over all night long.
Yeah, a couple days you'll get used to it. Or you'll have a mental breakdown.
Not a dream, laddie. You'll be on the Chillaxian cello.
Talk about your sea legs, but really they're... They're really more like flying.
Okay, so if we inherit a boat on this particular mission, I vote we call it the Chillaxian Cello.
That's fine. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
It's a pact.
No, man, it's a boat.
Oh, God. Britt's turning red.
Chillaxian Cello.
Breathe, Britt. Breathe.
I knew it was forgetting to do.
I believe we reached an accord.
No. An accordion?
An accordion? No, wait, no. Wait.
That would work pretty well because then you could like...
It's a strand.
They should sure as hell hear us coming, too. That's the great and terrible sounds of the pirates of the Chillaxian accordion.
What's that you say, the Chillaxian cello? I heard about that once in a brothel.
Play me like a song.
Have you heard about the Arcadian accordion?
Once you hear the terrible wheeze, it's already too late.
I'm asking you this, mate. Does it cost extra?
If you have to ask, you can't afford it. Oh, boy.
That's awesome, Kurt. Good one.
Yeah, this whole time he's been trying to turn it into one of those dirty sex moves.
Right.
like the rusty trombone.
So much for Pathfinder.
I tried.
Hey, at least we're trying to keep it in the setting. You know, it's all in the glory.
This is all on
baby steps. Yeah,
baby steps.
We're getting closer.
I was once in a port over here, in the, and they were talking about this ducktail rock thing.
Never. Oh.
Okay, so we searched the boat.
Getting me an Apara Oboe. And I thought the name, the Ducktail Rock, was supposed to be a brothel, but here we are.
And we killed some undead things, too, didn't we?
Yeah.
Chopped its head clean off.
Zambies. Do you ever officially kill anything undead?
Looking down at the board, they look like zombies.
Is there one left, or is it just...
I think...
Did we forget one? I thought we killed them all, didn't we?
No, because we killed them all, and we've already been searching the ship. We went.
Yeah, you got the goodies. Yeah.
We just keep that one around for entertainment.
I remember you got the goodies. I don't know why that guy's standing up. Let's fix that in here.
There we go. Better. Stay. Yeah. Good boy.
Stay dead, damn it.
Will, I told you that wouldn't work. It was a dumbass idea.
God, I can't get the Tibetan tube out of my head now.
Here it's called the Taldor tuba.
Dude, you gotta stop What the that. Fuck is that? No, oh, it's just the Taldor tuba.
Instead of taking turns rowing, they like just like five or six of them go up to the mouthpiece and all blow at the same time.
You'd be the fastest ship on the water.
Jarwin looks at the rest of us. He's like, I gotta go below. I'll be back in a minute. My God, every time they do that, it gets me excited.
And, you know, like trying to explain to somebody outside this, like, instruments are ships. That's not that funny. Well, and yet here we are.
Welcome to my world.
Around the Taldor tuba, there's a distinct lack of cannons, but they just play the brown note as you pull up to the next note.
The brown note. The brown note. It's
the brown note needs to be. It needs to be a bard spell.
Oh, it definitely
it
is.
Needs to make it a bard spell.
It's not a spell. It's a bardic masterpiece.
Yeah, right? It is. And you,
you have to be 20th level to take it, though.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I like the one that I took in one of Jason's campaigns that was a... It was a masterpiece that caused the enemies to bleed.
Oh, yeah.
Rectally?
Well, it doesn't specify. It does not specify. So, yes.
Army anus.
It costs like...
Let the music be this witchcraft.
I am the queen of France.
Each round of it costs like 5 rounds of performance, but at that point I had like 60 bleeding. Rounds of performance. I just kept taking extra performance every level.
Well, bugger me.
Back to something Will said.
Oh, boy.
The brown note.
No, not that. It's like, there's no cannons. Well, if you ask Tchaikovsky, cannons are an instrument.
Yes, that's right.
True story. That's true.
So I'm just saying, summon instrument.
Could technically be cannons, and I would choose a fire breath cannon.
I think that's a stretch, but, you know.
8d6.
If I have a GM in that, you know, rule of cool and all, but... Come
we
on
use
now.
That as a propulsion system.
No, come well, here, here's how you get it. Yeah. Yeah, you can summon a cannon.
Yeah.
There's no ammunition.
There's no ammo.
Right.
So you have to magically make that part.
And it is powder. Hard to find ammo for a gargantuan cannon.
And so I don't know if you all know this, but cannons don't float.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they don't. So
if they're made entirely out of wood, they float. Trust me, I've made one.
It wouldn't be a wooden cannon.
Hey.
A traditional cannon would be a boat anchor, basically.
I've made cannons entirely out of wood.
For it to be an instrument, it needs the powder. Just like summoning the cello, it has strings, or a harp has strings, or whatever.
You just use magic as the powder.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, if you do that, like, we just start buying a bunch of cannonballs, and then you just summon it up, and we just have to get into a team load.
Technically speaking, xylophones are very large, and the little sticks you use to play them, if they're huge size, those would be cannonballs.
Okay, so just I have a question. Two questions, really.
Where are we going with this, number one?
I'm going with, I want to use a fucking cannon for free.
If we do this, how much damage does a cannon of that size do? And two, 8D8. Can I sneak attack with it?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes and yes.
You just need the enemy to be flat-footed. You're fine.
And within 30 feet.
Yeah. Wait. Unless you have sniper's goggles, then you can do it from any range.
I was going to say, wasn't there
greater sniper's goggles?
Some kind of a YouTube thing where a guy's like, you're going to do a sneak attack with a fucking siege
weapon?
That is
the original Gamers movie, they're all on YouTube. Watch them; they're hilarious.
They're hilarious.
Yeah.
They are. Like, pile of dead bars.
You think we're funny? Those guys, man. Yeah. Woof. The original, well, not the original, but the Gamers Darkness Rising.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That was the first introduction that I got personally to the Gamers, the whole shebang. And the kids and I watched that right before and as we were getting back into Pathfinder. And they were pretty instrumental in getting us back into gaming and stuff together. So I've met those guys at Gen Con on several occasions. Very, sweet. Very cool. Yep. Very personable.
Cool.
Love to get pictures taken, you know, with you and stuff. And we'll just, it's like sitting around a table with us. I mean, they're funny. I mean, yeah. Just in real life, they're funny.
I was watching the first one again a few months back, and my oldest daughter came in the room and sat down. I was like, what are you watching, Dad? It's Gamers. Gamers. And I explained to her, you know what your dad does for fun? Yeah, that's what this movie is. Okay.
Not sex, the other thing.
Anyway, no. So she sat down, she's watching for about 5 minutes, and she goes, I don't get it.
I have watched all three of the movies. The second one's the best.
Yep.
I've watched what I can of the TV show and Journey Quest and Natural One and House Rules, and it's all hilarious. I backed their Kickstarters.
Wow. Like,
Zombie Orpheus is...
Yes. True believer over there.
Yeah. It's funny stuff.
Oh, I don't
you
argue
know?
That.
I buy bit. The DVDs.
Yeah, I love Journey Quest, man. That, yeah, agreed. They need to make more of that. That's why I try to support
well, that's why he Kickstarters.
Which one's Journey Quest?
The Perf, the
big yellow
wizard.
Wizard Superfluous.
Okay. Superfluous, yeah.
And it is the guy who plays the cleric. It's like, there are two types of undead. There's corporeal undead that lack souls. Mindless... automatonic beings. There are souls without bodies. You, however, have managed to do what every necromancer in history has failed to do. You have created a corporeal undead with their soul. So thanks. Thanks
that's
for
when
that.
Turned him into a zombie, right?
Yeah. It's just that deadpan delivery of like, so thanks. Thanks for that.
The second one, if I recall correctly, is lacking the paladin. He was my favorite in the first one. I think you need more convincing, or whatever the fuck
that's
he said.
That's Journey Quest.
Journey Quest?
You need encouragement!
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 Encouragement! He comes back in season 3.
Oh, awesome.
He's still there in season 3. Nice. And in fact, there's
that's Glorian. Glorian the Paladin.
Yeah, that's one.
Talking about the undead and the souls thing, technically lore-wise, the undead are brought back with a part of their soul, and that's why it's always an evil act, because they're tormenting their soul and shattering it and stealing part of it to power a being. But hey, that's just semantics.
I didn't know that they'd released that information for their homebrew setting.
Yep, that's how it works.
Okay. Yeah. Like in their
canonically,
setting.
That's how it works.
In their setting?
Yep.
You go got ask the inside track over there, huh?
Go ask them.
Nice.
See what phenomena. They say.
Hopefully. I like Mark. I've talked to them at Gen Con. Like they're actually phenomena. They'll just talk to you about whatever.
Yeah. That's cool.
So anyway, we searched the ship.
Oh yeah, the whole boat thing.
Oh wait,
so yeah, we're done with that, right?
Brown note. What?
God damn it!
No. Hey guys, so we need to leave now. if you don't want to go, just don't. Like everybody who wants to go, say
aye.
Oh, Nat didn't say anything. I guess we leave him.
I spoke for him.
You can't speak for him.
Yeah, I did.
That's rude.
My fault, he got up and walked away.
How dare you? Dare you hinder his player agency?
Hey, Jarwin.
Yeah.
So this would be a great time for another giant cello.
Only giant sized?
I mean, if I look at a cello that big, I would think that's a giant cello.
Okay, I will summon a colossal sized cello and let it fall into the water.
And it shatters
under its own weight.
The water shatters. That's weird. Water. How did water shatter?
You freeze it.
No.
All right. Somewhere there's somebody in some other extra dimensional world making these huge fucking cellos.
God damn it! Another one
here every 6 seconds. He's like, God damn it!
He's in like a time warped one too. So like it takes him like a year's time in his universe, but it's only 6 seconds in our realm. So poof, another year's work of my work or year's time of my work gone.
Alrighty, guys, so shall we head over to the Duck-Tailed Rock?
Woo-hoo!
Let's go. I hope there's treasure there.
There better be after all this shit we put up with.
Oh, they're not that bad.
I hope there's a fucking boat so we can get off this island.
I have a fucking boat. What is your problem?
No, I got
just
a question.
Use the damn boat.
Why has it taken you this long to decide to create this boat for us when we could have gotten off the day one of this fucking place?
Because this is more fun.
He had to get the idea.
Yes. Getting chased around by cannibals and watching you almost
get eaten. Breathe.
Hey.
Breathe.
Just because you're a pussy doesn't mean everybody else is.
I don't need you to calm down. I just like to see you breathe.
Do that again, man. I know, right?
Just don't do the skin sin thing again.
Okay, I will say this.
I don't get it.
Like, using it across the lagoon is one thing, but I'm not want to go out in the open ocean in this thing.
I wouldn't either, because what if I fall asleep and we need a new one? Oh, what if something happens to me and you guys...
There it is, right there.
We'll take turns keeping you awake. Every time, every, like, 6 seconds, someone can slap you.
Yeah, but after...
Like Nath.
And if we're on open water for days and days, like, I'm eventually going to succumb to tiresomeness.
Well, that's your problem.
Exhaustion.
No, that's your problem. Hey, your word, my word.
Oh, just like in real life.
You know, it's going to happen, and you're all going to die.
Well, hopefully, after we get the lighthouse finished,
yes,
we can attract a real ship. I mean, not that I'm begrudging your cellos. I mean, they're nice for what they're for.
Cellos,
but yeah, I mean, very, very infeasible getting us all the way to Sargava. I don't think it's going to happen.
And I think we can just presume that Gelek, being worthless, probably also cannot do this skill.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, he'd want to make like a horn or something stupid, so we'd drown.
It, fucking weirdo.
Oh, I'm gonna make a harpsichord.
Well, shall we? Meta will hop onto the cello.
Come on, Nath.
Yes.
They were gonna leave you, but I wouldn't let it happen, man. Come on.
Hey, we need. Hey, where's our motor at? Get it over there. Get in there.
Yeah, Nath.
Come on, motors.
Nath is behind it, already pushing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Sam sits in the back with her little bag of protein snacks.
Faster! Faster! Mush! Mush!
It's only for dog sleds, man.
Oh.
Dog sleds.
Well, you guys are dogs.
No.
Salty dogs.
Salty sea dogs.
Nath is kicking very slowly.
All right. Well, this journey is much shorter.
Come on,
distance.
Snake boy.
So you are able to... How long those last?
The cellos?
Yeah.
I don't know, a minute or something.
I think it's a minute.
So every minute we got
to
jump.
Per level, right?
Yeah, I don't remember. It's a minute per level or a minute, whatever.
Fourth level, 4 minutes.
Yeah.
And then we spent like 5 dicking around, so we probably had to summon it a couple times.
We were swimming in we were going in a circle because Nath was refusing to work. Couldn't get that engine started. Well,
you got 1 minute per level. Snack, and, you know.
And it's dismissible.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Good to know. Good to know.
What's that meta? Fuck you. Dismiss.
Oh, crap. Meta. Oh, nope. She's floating. Never mind.
You start whispering to everybody. On 3, jump.
So, yeah, you ought to be able to make it across the span there to shore with just a couple of cellos, I would think. And
it's a two-cello trip.
Two-cello trip.
I will say this. There's nowhere in the spell description that says you can't have more than one at a time.
Oh.
Really? Yeah.
But doesn't it say in the up at the top it poofs when you make a new one?
Nope. It just says you can you have to summon them one at a time.
And it takes a round to do that, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
But if it lasts for 4 minutes, you know, you could basically just build a bridge of cellos.
Yeah. I have faith in you.
It's like a pontoon bridge. I like that.
Pile of bards, a stack of cellos.
Yeah. Hide behind the stack of cellos.
Interesting.
I have cover.
I was going to say, I think we just found the perfect way to get cover.
And, you know, if you're in a band called Jackal, they have a chainsaw for an instrument.
Or those trash ones, you know, trash bands or whatever, just summon a dumpster.
No, we already have one of those. It's called Mass.
Here's what you do. You ever seen the America's Got Talent where they get, like, some really fat guy out there and everybody, like, slaps him to make music?
Yeah.
So technically, that man is an instrument.
Wow.
The flesh bongos.
I call that, I refer to something else when I say flesh bongo, but hey, you know.
Wow. Yeah, me too.
That's where my head went, yeah. You get to the shore, you're at a beach, you know the duck-tailed rock is just in front of you to the north.
Tam, look, duck-tailed rock.
Yes, we charge heedlessly into the jungle.
As no per usual.
We pass out as many sharp weapons as we can to carry around with us, drawn and exposed to the air.
I'm running with scissors.
I gave some of my daggers to Nath, so he has some.
You don't have scissors, dude.
He does now.
If I put my daggers,
I'm
like
good.
This,
I got claws. I don't need anything else.
Yeah, they can be an instrument as well. I'll just summon him a pair of musical scissors. What now, bitch?
In fact, Tam goes so far as to tie arrows to her knees.
Facing which direction, though? pointing in out or pointing in
multiple
in?
Directions.
I'm so lost. Where the good. Fuck are we going with this?
Good.
The DuckTales Rock.
Yeah.
To the DuckTales Rock.
Just waving our weapons wildly through the air.
Also, technically, piles of gold can be musical instruments too, so I'm going to just constantly throw like gold everywhere as I run. And
just
it'll
one piece at a time.
Just one piece at a time as we're running.
This is a common thing in a lot of fantasy. It's called spare change, usually.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Usually does an amount of damage equal to the amount of money you throw.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that what you go to look for in pockets of
when
people that
mostly
dead?
Yes. No, that's all dead.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
See, I always get him confused.
If he's all dead, then you can only do one thing. Go through his pockets for loose change.
Yeah.
Okay, so seriously, though, we take to the jungle and head towards the rock.
See. Which rock?
Your
the DuckTales Rock.
Walking.
It's me.
I think we established we weren't walking. I think we established we were running with scissors and instruments.
I know.
Arrows.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Like apparently,
monkeys.
Apparently, yeah. Tim is running like Kermit the Frog when he's freaking out. Ronan is staring at us in disbelief.
Nath is skipping.
Boy, if we ever do video,
no,
that would have been a good gag.
Immediately
yeah.
followed Tam because he's like, oh, the dance of my people.
Perhaps Meta should cast Calm Emotions on the group.
It's ineffective.
Damn. Except that when we hit the weeds, when you look at Ronan, all you see is these hands sticking up above the phone. Can't see the rest of them.
Meta, you can't calm crazy. It's not an emotion. It's a state
I
of
believe
being.
You need restoration for that.
No, it's a sleep spell.
Otis looks at Nath and goes, I don't think they're supposed to drink the seawater. That's what happens. They shouldn't do that.
As Nath sprints off into the jungle.
Playing with the cloacas.
Refer to me as Commodore Nath.
Swinging snakes wildly.
Holding them only by the cloaca.
So Meta stands there on the edge of the...
Hey, look, guys, I'm Jimmy Gorgon. Woo!
Meta stands on the edge of the beach at the edge of the jungle. Watching this,
yeah,
turns to Artemis. Are they okay?
Artemis is doing the same, wasn't he?
No. I was trying to speak to Nath about those two running off in the jungle, and then he runs off in the jungle waving his snakes around like really crazily.
And you forgot he announced himself again as Commodore Nath.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. You didn't drink any seawater, did you?
No.
Okay, I didn't drink any seawater.
No, I store water in my humps, so I'm good.
Your what?
Her lovely lady bumps.
Oh, lovely lady humps.
Perhaps we should go check on them. I think they've been on the island a little too long.
We got jungle fever.
They did drink that stuff that the Pezcock had.
That's been a long time, though. That chili would have wore off by now, but we better catch them because they're going very fast.
I can't catch them, but I'll come along.
Guys, I found a camel! No, wait, that's a tree!
Yeah, my 20-foot movement speed, I can't catch them.
Well, all right, I'll keep within sight and keep them within sight. I'll come back for you.
So y'all go chasing off into the jungle for a bit. Relatively quickly, you come to a bit of a clearing. You know, it's ringed by jungle still, but right dead ahead of you is the Duck-Tailed Rock.
Woohoo!
Woohoo.
Jason, you still have your map?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where's Nath?
Excuse me.
Where's Commodore Nath?
Voila.
Where's Commodore Nath? Oh, there he is.
Shiro's map.
Okay. You see before you basically that. To your left is a
tree that looks
massive
like a woman.
Bra?
A figure eight tree.
It does look
it.
Like a bra.
It's got a couple of holes.
If you
in
turn
the
it on the side, it's more like a mask.
Yep.
Yeah, I was gonna say
it could be a nursing bra,
like a listeners. Bra. It's like a Mardi Gras mask.
Yeah.
You know,
wings
on the side,
the feathers.
Almost.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Right. Okay. Now, turn it back to regular. Okay.
You know,
and
I mean,
to your right, you see a bit of a cave,
and
a small cave.
The DuckTales Rock actually looks like a hat. I mean,
it looks like a wizard hat with two points.
Yeah.
It's like a
Madonna bra.
Right. Yeah.
For the record,
we get a lot of boob references in this.
For the record, once again,
we're in rare form today.
I initially described it as a Batman cowl. You guys are the ones that came up with the fucking ducktail rock shit. So,
you know,
yeah. Welcome to GMing, champ.
I know.
Actually,
Tam, it's just my turn.
When we get back to the lighthouse, you might want to work with Ishiro because I mean, he is a wonder with a sword, but he is shite for drawing. I'm just saying, you're much better than that.
Now that we've reached this point in the campaign, I'm going to point out Britt has never once made me roll to check the quality of my various sketches and everything. So
that should be a craft check, correct?
Yeah, I'm just going to point out we have no idea how good Tam actually is at this shit.
She sure loves to do it, though.
Yeah.
She sure loves it.
I mean, I imagine she is intelligent. And craft is based off intelligence, and she will take her time for it. So, like, they're not terrible, but she's certainly not a, you know, Rembrandt.
Right, right.
You've had a lot of practice, though, is what I'm saying.
Right, and, right.
I mean, it looks like he drew that with a stick.
Well, I also don't know if he drew it. Like, he gave me the map. I don't know that he drew it.
Oh, all right. Well, I won't disparage him then. But.
Because it's been long enough, I don't remember.
So...
That too.
Did he say anything about the map? Did he tell you, like, I mean, other than...
Oh, he sure did. He told me how he got it and what, you know, the story behind it. And I'll explain that to you, but I might sound a little different when I do.
I think that's my cue. Off the top of my head, I'd have to look it up how he got it. But no, he did not draw this map, if that's what you want to know. It's been handed down. Multiple people have held this map. They never really made the connection that it was on Smuggler's Shiv, though.
Oh.
Except for the one who did draw it. He knew exactly where it was.
How?
Because he's the one that buried the treasure there.
Oh.
Ah. I'll bet there's treasure.
Oh. So, is there an X or something on this clearing?
Well, Jason, you have the map.
I'm going to step forward and just draw an X on the floor. Or the ground. Yes, there's one right there.
What sense can you make of that now? What do you think? How do you think you should proceed? It's really not much of a map, is it?
In the hole.
Well, first instinct would be to check the cave. How big are we talking? Like foxhole cave? Or are we talking like...
Yeah, pretty much.
So Ronan. Cam just looks over at Ronan.
I should also state that this clearing, where all this is, it's kind of like sand, but it's more gray than, you know, the light golden brown color that you normally see on a beach.
Is it flammable?
Not anymore.
Out of curiosity, when Jason said foxhole cave, did you mean actual animal or, like,
no,
military?
I mean, like, the military. Like, size-wise, you know, the old references to foxholes.
That's what I was kind
of...
Oh, no, I thought you meant actual foxhole.
No.
Yeah,
foxhole is not an animal den.
I mean, the reason why they called them that is because they were roughly that size.
Yeah,
so. Okay. Potato, potato.
Yeah.
So anyway, the ground here it looks more ashen than sand, but below that first layer of ash-type material, it's mostly sand.
It looks to me like on your map there, is there a rise in the center of the clearing? Because it looks like there's maybe like a little hillock or something.
A little,
there.
Little lump?
Yeah.
Somewhat.
Okay. Is it in the center?
Somewhat.
Because what I'm looking at with this map, what I'm thinking, it's got three landmarks here, and I think, can we see this tree?
Yes.
We should triangulate the center of the three.
It's no longer alive.
That's fine.
Yeah, but you see it.
We should triangulate the center point between the three, and if it's nothing in the cave, maybe, like, check there. If we triangulate that center point, is it the hillock?
It's very, very close. There's some letters and numbers on there, I believe.
Yeah, the ducktailed rock is labeled S55.
Mm-hmm.
The cave is NW35.
Mm-hmm.
The tree is NE45.
Mm-hmm. It's been months since I put that together, but
yeah. I mean, those are definitely course headings and probably feet or paces.
Yes, directions and yeah.
South from the ducktailed rock, northeast from the from. Whichever you said there, the tree. The tree, and then what was the other one?
Northwest from the...
And that will give us the... If we all take steps from those places, we should be approximately where the center is.
So triangulate the center point between the three?
Well, yeah, but I mean, somebody goes to the rock, somebody to the tree, somebody to the hole. We mark our ways off and walk in all directions, and we should meet about where the treasure is.
So out of curiosity, she turns to Ronan with his tiny legs. Should we have some normal-sized people do the walking?
Well, yes, I would believe that would be proper and right, because it's going to be probably normal-sized people. No offense.
Unless this map was made by
a small person.
Someone passed it down, said it was passed down through his family, so and he himself is human.
His granny was very short.
Yeah, it's possible. So this is what Tam is going to do. Tam is going to go stand in the middle point. Like, she's going to try and figure out where, like, the middle between these three things is.
Okay.
And then she'll just point, like, Artemis, you go to the cave, turn northwest, go 35 paces. Jawin, you go to the duck-tailed rock, turn south, which is, you know, back towards us. You go 55 paces. And Nath, you go to the tree, turn northeast, and go 45 paces.
And we'll do that.
So you do that.
Where do we end up being close to?
So do they all end up standing on top of Jason, or Tam?
Within 3 feet, yes.
Jarwin's going to think to himself, does a shuffle count as an instrument? And try to summon one anyways.
A shuffle?
Yeah.
Does not count.
It has strings on it.
We have one.
Yeah, we've got plenty of, we got picks and shovels and lots of fucking rope.
Rope collecting was a hobby for a while.
Right. So, I mean, let's start, probably should start digging.
Just be like, oh, look, you're all right where I thought you'd be.
Okay, so you're all within like 3 or 4 feet of each other,
mm-hmm.
forming a triangle-ish.
Well, I'd say we start digging here.
Yep.
Yes, I think you guys should start digging right there. I'll help with my 7 strength.
I'll play music while you guys do it.
Part of inspiration?
Nath digs.
No, just rhythm. Play music.
Rhythm.
Yeah.
Tam digs.
I'll shout row every like 3 seconds. Row. Row.
Fine.
Row.
Artemis is not happy about this.
Meta is more than happy to help dig. She's just not good at it.
Why don't you and Ronan just like watch and make sure nothing sneaks up on the side of the jungle?
Ronan thought that he would give each of you resistance so you wouldn't get tired while digging.
Resistance from physical labor?
That's just plus one saves.
Because I try to do that myself at every occasion.
Resistance gives you a bonus to your saves and to avoid getting exhausted.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. It's a badass spell. But more badass than I thought it was.
You have to keep doing it, and it doesn't stack with resistance.
It doesn't stack with Cloaks of Resistance, but it does last up to a minute, and I can cast it on multiple people.
I don't think we have Cloaks of Resistance yet anyways.
Oh, no.
You don't?
Uh-uh.
Well, shit, I got 5.
What? Fuck you, Tam. You fuck.
Tam changes them out
every
day.
You weren't supposed to tell him, Tam. You weren't supposed to tell Jarwin.
I was wondering why your cloak changed every day.
Yeah. We lost Brit again.
I can just picture that shit.
I mean, that's hilarious.
She's just an Ever Woman. I thought that's how they all did. Change their cloaks every day.
In fact, you guys have probably heard Tam complain about the fact that she's been wearing the same clothes for a week, and she's just like, they're getting stiff.
I mean, I've
asked, uncomfortable.
I've offered to clean them for her.
Yeah, well, even if they're cleaned, though, like, she wants to wear something else, because...
Variety, spice alive.
Don't you have a captain's outfit?
Yeah, but it's all raggedy
and
shit.
Yeah, it's an instrument for dancing.
So we
how
did.
How many shovels, picks?
Three of us. Implements. Three of us with picks and shovels. Okay. We'll use the picks to loosen up the, you know, the hard pack, and then we'll shovel it out, of course.
Oh, there's no hard pack here.
Oh,
yet.
Good. It's even better.
And Tim would request that Ronan and any backup go ahead and check that cave just in case.
Okay.
Ronan.
All right.
Have at it.
Is anyone going with me?
I'll stand outside unless you want me to. Looking at the cave.
It's just your
unless
size
you want me to peel myself off and go in there with you.
So I'm not watching.
I'm digging. I'm not looking at the cave. I'm digging.
Disturbing than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I suppose we'll go look.
You forget to start
cave.
The timer.
Here, I'll tie a rope to you.
No, it's not necessary.
Okay.
And for the listeners, Kurt
don't
just said no. That's not necessary.
Don't get eaten, Ronan.
We'll go take a look at the cave. I don't know how you want to play that, splitting the party.
Kurt, I'm really going to need you to use your big boy voice, man.
I'm talking right into the microphone.
Yeah, but you're talking like this.
More Weird Al, less
speak with
NPR.
Your diaphragm.
Speak with my diaphragm. Anyway. I'm trying to stay in character, not dip out of his voice. He's got a soft voice.
No, I understand that, but it's also a podcast. So if you need to change his voice.
The army next character going to have a pirate voice.
Well, if you're going to use your soft voice character, just turn your mic up more and don't talk real loud when you're not in character. That's the solution for that.
Anyway.
You know, I've been doing this.
So Ronan was going in the hole.
Well, the first thing I'm going to do is examine the hole and see if there's any footprints coming in and out of it, things of that nature. I'm not just going to blindly walk in.
Is the rival's just going to feel around the outside?
Is the hole moist?
Get his finger wet, run it around there.
Right.
Check for traces.
Is there a lot of foliage around the hole?
Is it well trimmed?
Or is it just like bare?
It's more like a 70s bush. In your face.
Bow, chicka, bow,
bow. Yeah, the rest of them are all subtle about it, and you're like, yeah. Fuck it.
Yeah, no, well, you missed last night. We were talking about how all of our gauntlet characters, we chose different versions of the name. Pete, Peter, Petra, whatever.
Yep.
And repeat.
Then Neil shows up with double dick.
Yep. It's dick, like, dick.
Like, yeah. Class act, baby.
Yeah.
Don't hate.
All right.
It's fine.
For the survival check, I rolled a 19.
Tracks going every which direction.
No, sorry, 18. Yeah. 18.
Oh, we find nothing.
Going every which way.
That's a different podcast, I think, but yeah.
I was filling in the silence while you were busy over there like sneezing with your stupid bodily human functions.
Oh, my God. Allergies today are just terrible. But we'll get over it.
You know what helps? 19?
18. 18.
Do I hear 17?
No.
Meta got a 22.
To be fair.
And she's there with me.
My gauntlet character's animal companion or familiar was named Petrie. So I did
okay,
follow.
Okay, yeah, we're off that topic, bro.
I'm just saying.
You missed that boat.
I'm just saying.
Some medication delay. Leave them alone.
Yeah, fuck you.
22, yes, there's definitely tracks. They're animal tracks. They are indeed.
Thank you, Mick.
Fox.
Are they recent?
No. You would guess approximately 4 days old.
All right. And they're going out, right? Not going in?
Well... The older ones are going in. The most recent are going out, yes.
All right. So Meta will look at Ronan. So, you feel pretty good about it, right?
Here we go. So, yeah. We'll go take a look.
All right. Enjoy. Scream if you need help, and I'll collapse the entrance.
That's great. Thanks, Meta.
Good plan.
You're the only one that can fit in there.
All right. So, yeah. It just... I got the dark vision thing.
Yes. I remember. It goes in for 10 feet. It's about 3 feet diameter, maybe. Then it opens up into a 5-foot cavern. There's a few bones here and there. Maybe a tuft of fur here and there. And nothing else.
Ah, no shinies. Let's
give me a perception check.
Sure.
You realize that's only a d20 you need to roll for a perception.
I know, but they're all in
it's
the cup.
It's way more fun to roll the whole goddamn cup. Yeah.
That is a 21.
21? Which d20 were you using?
There's only one d20 in the bunch.
But this way, if he rolls real low and the d12 rolls high, he can just use that. Right.
I think my d20 gets lonely, so.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Everybody's got their own little system.
Yeah. I don't kink shame my dice like Neil.
Right.
I don't kink shame them either. I punish them for not rolling well.
Right.
It's not kink shame, it's just shaming.
Yeah, damn straight.
Sure.
Yeah, with that, you don't see anything else except for dirt.
Okay, and dirt. Let's just throw a quick detect magic on the room.
You do so, and nothing.
Okay, all right. Well, I pop my head back up out of the hole, and there's nothing down there but a fox den.
It's safe down there. It's like the hole's giving birth.
It's dumb. That was dumb.
That was so dumb.
Pete, you feeling okay, bud?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So speaking of dirt, how much dirt have we thrown out of this hole?
Oh, Nash. Well, that's going on. You guys are digging?
Digging the whole time.
Yeah, we're a whole episode in, and we've gone like 20. We've gone like 2 miles and tried to dig holes.
Now, so they're flurry of blowsing as he's
to
digging.
Be fair, we did summon some cellos.
Well, yeah.
And this is why nothing gets done. Come
right.
on.
So you dig and 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 dig. How long you want to dig?
Tam wouldn't dig more than 4 or 5 feet before like going to a different spot and trying to dig there.
I'm not going to say how I know this, but usually you want to go down at least 6 feet because that is the depth of the grave. So if we stop early, we may miss it.
You know,
Tim rolls her eyes and jumps back in to keep digging.
Ronan gives Ronan has an idea, and he looks at Tam and he goes, "If you have that sword, you could poke it down in the sand and see if it hits something hard. You know, probe the sand with it."
I could. I'll just got to keep digging. It's a short sword. It's not gonna go that deep.
Could also just get a stick if we wanted to do that. We're being honest.
Are there any animals in this immediate area that like burrow,
aside from Jarwin?
He didn't say a burrow. He said that.
Oh, sorry. Semantics.
Let me take a look at the list. Give me a second.
Jarwin's going to stop playing and go in the foxhole and start digging around.
Artemis will take a break while Jarwin is digging and drink some water.
Again, I would hit everyone with resistance that's willing.
I don't like being touched by the frog. I'm not willing.
Go fuck yourself, then.
That's not really why. I'm just in the hole and you're not.
I don't really care.
I mean, if you want to come in the hole and...
is that what she said?
Touch me a little bit there, Kurt. I'll allow it.
That's what she said.
Yeah. I mean, gopher, mouse, any kind of animal that burrows.
Badger.
I'm not being picky.
Wolverine.
As per usual.
Bulette.
A vole.
Bulette, Jesus.
Purple worm.
As long as it's considered an animal.
Anakeg.
Let's see here.
Anakeg.
Yeah, Bulette is a magical beast, right?
At which point it wouldn't work. It needs to be an animal.
Oh, sorry.
Bulettes are magical beasts too, aren't they?
I imagine, yeah.
Yeah, nothing really on the list of random encounter critters speaks to, hey, I like to dig, but that is not to say that you couldn't find something like
some
to
percentiles
dig,
there.
The lizards that dig.
Spiders.
Do a little percentile check.
I think he's not. I don't think he's looking for that animal. I think he's looking to turn into one.
No. They're looking for an animal.
Sorry, because you can.
Damn it, Pete. Where are you going with this? Just spell it out for us.
He wants to talk to animals.
That's what I thought he was doing. Yep. Yeah.
And ask it if there's anything unusual buried underneath area.
Is there a rainbow hedgehog?
Just a thought. There are snakes.
Yes, but they are snakes that are not from this immediate area. So they would have to go looking before they could answer the question.
Uh-huh. You're looking for something that already knows. Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. Also not animals.
Well, as we're digging, if I come across anything like a bunny burrow or something like that, I'll try to knock it unconscious with a shovel and hand it up to Meta.
This shit's going to
be... I should have killed it.
Okay. So prepared
Tam,
action.
Tam, stop it.
I can't apply my sneak attack with a shovel.
Damn it. This is going to turn into the Curse of Oak Island.
Why is there a pile of dead bodies?
Again, I ask, how long do you want to dig? And how deep?
Well, like I said...
The two do correlate a little bit. Yeah,
I want to go down at least six feet before we even start to think about quitting. Because, I mean, if somebody really did bury a treasure here, they would bury it at least 6 feet down.
Six feet is your answer.
Darwin's still digging in the foxhole.
Yep. Sounds like 6 feet is my answer.
And yep. I would say that to be thorough, we'd want, like, because we, in our point of view, like, we have weeks of time until that lighthouse gets done, from what we were told last time. We could, like, the three places where everybody stopped after pacing off, just basically dig out the entire triangle that is made there.
Okay.
Yeah, especially with it being sandy type of ground.
And Ronan will keep an eye on the tides.
Okay. Ronan's lookout?
I mean, when we don't have to do it like all right now. We could take rests and do it in shifts, but, you know.
Yeah, it could be.
So we take a couple days and we dig until we're thoroughly convinced that there is nothing here in that area.
Well, okay, so a couple days, you say? I mean, you can certainly camp out here is where it was going.
Right.
We got a fox den to sleep in.
Ronan does.
Jarwin does.
I don't know what kind of... spells you got on hand, but I probably should, huh?
I think myself personally, I would push for going at least 10 feet down. I mean, I know it's a lot, but
it's sandy soil though, so you'll dig fast.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. It's not.
We don't know that's sandy soil 10 feet down.
Right. But I mean, either we're going
to
hit bedrock or something else. I mean. And we'll also kind of be, like, looking at the substrate on the side, you know, like, is there, like, clay? Is it all sandy loam? I mean, is it changing as we go down farther?
So, Jarwin, could you do, like, a knowledge geography check?
Or geology?
Yeah, I could do whatever check the GM asked me to.
You can also ask to do whatever check.
Hey, GM, What knowledge check should I roll? Because they're all the same score, so I'll just roll a d20.
Yeah, Britt, throw us a bone here, man. Like, give us something.
Whatever it is, it's a 29.
29, okay. Yeah, usually with this kind of topography, I think that's the correct word, it's kind of like you're at the beach, and, you know, when you, if you've ever been to the beach, you dig down in the sand, and after a while, the moisture tends to
coalesce,
and the sand becomes more compact, or seeming so. At some point, you're starting to get to that. This is starting to get more solid, and that would be about the point where you'd be about 6 feet down. So up until that point, it's been just shovel.
Right.
Try and get it far away from the hole you're digging so it doesn't fall back in. What's just starting to get a little more solid at this point. And if you continue to dig for a while, again, I ask, until you find something or depth or time, I don't know what your measurement is.
Couple days, man.
Okay, well, you go for 3 hours.
I'd say
digging in the same spot.
At least, right? 10 feet
is that
in the
plan?
Same spot. Yeah.
Okay. So for 3 hours, you dig in the same spot. One of you hears thunk.
Was it a rock or was it more of a thump?
No, I think a rock is a big bird.
Tink?
Let's just... Who heard it?
There was three of you digging?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just do that. Do it again. Okay. Tam.
I think I found something.
And you do it again. You get a... about a foot away from where you originally hit it. Thunk. Kind of thud.
Oh, God, is this Jumanji?
I don't know what that is. Come on, guys. Guys, over here. Help me dig. I found something.
Nath begins digging.
Yeah, hopefully it's not just a rock.
We start clearing out, trying to get down and move the dirt away so we can see if there's like a chest or what's down there.
Okay. So you work on that a little bit. You figure out some sort of a wooden platform.
Can we work to the
edge? And then you find, as you keep going, you find an edge to this platform. And so then you can start to make out, oh, this thing looks like it might be about 10 feet by 10 feet or so, based on what you're seeing so far. And you start chucking more sand out of there, and more, and very quickly, you stumble across body.
I think we're in the right place.
Seems like.
What kind of body?
A short,
dead body.
It's not a grippy, is it?
Is it Ronin?
Short.
It is not a Ronin.
Damn it. Can't get rid of this fucking frog.
And why would you want to?
Fucking pervert.
I'm not the one fucking everything in sight.
Well, me neither. since I am down there, and my heal check is shit, I'll give it a go anyway.
Did you roll a one?
I got a 10.
That looks like it was a dwarf at one point.
Hey, looks like a dwarf.
That's cool.
Oh.
Do you know any dwarfs?
I've been looking for a dwarf. Does the wooden platform look like it's part of a larger structure? Or does this look like somebody put wood down here for some reason?
So far, it looks like it would... If somebody was making a raft tied together with like rope or like vines, it looks like a fucking raft is what it looks like.
Yeah.
Right?
Interesting.
So...
Does it remind me of a hatch cover on a ship?
Somewhat.
Let's pry it up.
Before we do that, all right, we need to get up top again. I want to put some stakes or pitons in the actual solid part up there, and everybody needs to tie off because you know what happens if you open a hatch. There's usually a hold underneath it, and I don't want to fall into something I don't know what's down there.
Yeah,
that's a good point. As soon as Artemis gets out of the hole, Tam tries to lift it.
Real quick, Mr. GM.
I should be up there. Okay, just give me a minute. I'm going to drive some pitons here, and I'll send you down a rope. And he's not even looking in the hole now. He just...
Meta would be standing above the hole watching this, and she ties a rope around her waist, waiting to jump in.
Okay, real quick. I'm more interested in the dwarf before we move past that part.
Oh, don't worry.
Can I do a heat check to see how long I believe this dwarf has been dead?
Don't worry. And yes, you can.
Approximately 7 generations worth.
Next time on Shield Bash. Thanks everybody for listening.
Say that.
Love y'all.
Shield Bash is made in association with Knights of the Octagon and Farmageddon Gaming Convention. Find us online at shieldbash.net, on Facebook at Shield Bash, on Twitter at Bash Shield, and on YouTube at Shield Bash. Music by Lee Rosevier. Serpent Skull and Pathfinder are the property of Paizo Publishing Incorporated. Leave a comment on iTunes for a chance to hear us read it out on the podcast. Questions and comments can be sent to shieldbashpodcast@gmail.com.